I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My integrity is intact. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My integrity is intact. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill promises. My integrity is intact. Do we really believe in ourselves? It would be a nice thing if we really did, because life would be so wonderful and so simple. If we really believed in ourselves, life would be so wonderful and so simple, because we would like ourselves. The greatest block to liking ourselves is believing in ourselves. I believe in myself. I like me. I really do. I think I'm a wonderful, happy, friendly, outgoing being, which I am. I think I'm intelligent. I think I'm strong. I think I'm handsome. I think I have a perfect body. I think I have a perfect mind. I think I live in a perfect world filled with perfect, perfect, perfect people and perfect circumstances. Now, I promised myself that this is what I believe about my world. And I will certainly create lots of little obstacles to see if I really do believe in it. These obstacles come and jump upon us and get after us and make us very unhappy, because we think that the obstacles are our reality. And the obstacles are merely the actions of the game. In chess, you look for people to give you a hard time. They're moving this way, moving that way. They want to capture your men, and they want to do whatever the game calls for it to do. The game calls for it to do. Nothing wrong about it. The game calls for it. And we flow with the game. We created the game. We created the game to see if we really believe in ourselves. I believe in myself. I'm very happy with myself. I'm very content. Oh, I have lots of projects that I'm working on. And I do my best and have fun. The projects do not swamp me, because that's part of the game, to see if the projects that we have set for ourselves will swamp us. The statement is only so wonderfully true. If you want something done, ask a busy person. The busy person always knows how to fit things into his schedule and get things done. And he can always take a moment to help someone else accomplish their goal. He's never too busy to have fun. And having fun is working with his creation, doing things in his world. If any of you come in to see me in my office and you say, "Herb, I've got a problem." I say, "Oh, hell. Take your problem and shove it where it belongs." If you come to my office and say, "Herb, I want a solution. I've been facing this thing for a long time and I don't have the right solution. I'd like a solution. Would you help me find a solution?" "Oh, you bet I will." "Herb, I feel miserable. I feel terrible. My life is going to pot." "Wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad your life's going to pot and you feel miserable and everything's going terrible for you. Oh, you have created that so wisely and so well." It's like you create the most difficult champion to play against in your chess game. You have a fellow playing with you on the golf course who is exquisite, who pars every hole. And you want to compete with him? Not really. You're just two masters playing together, each doing your wonderful game. If you try to compare your scores, you lose. If you give your very best and you do your very best and you play your finest and you have fun, it doesn't matter what the score is, but it'll be good, you can be sure of that. Whenever you give yourself 100% over to whatever game you're playing, it's fun. You're not playing to win or to lose, you're playing to have fun, to enjoy it, to be a master at it. I believe in myself. I believe that everything I do is a joyous, wonderful thing, and people just love me, people just enjoy me, they like to be in my presence. Now, I'm not being an egotist or a big head about this. I have only the finest people in the world in my world. I don't have any slowpokes in my world, any losers in my world. Everybody wants to be a winner at being sick or being well or being rich or being poor. They want to be a winner at it. And I help them. I help them. I help them succeed in whatever dream they have in their heart. Herb, that's cruel. No. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What did you think in your heart? What do you want in your heart? If you want to think about unhappiness, 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 you got it. If you want to think of happiness, 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 you got it. That's the name of the game. I believe in myself, and I make promises. I make promises to myself. I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to follow this program. I'm going to obey the law. I'm not going to speed. Even though the speed limit is 70, I'm going to go 69 or 70, but not 71 miles an hour. Because I'm cheating when I go 91. I promised when I took my license with the Department of Motor Vehicles, I would follow the rules that they gave me. And when I don't do it, I hurt myself. They don't check me for driving 71, 75, but they do check me for more. But I check me. I check me for driving 71, 72, 73. I check me. And I know it. And I don't like myself for it. But I like to play the game and see if I can cheat, get away with something. And all my nerves and all of my aspects of my body tighten up. Oh, I think I'm getting away with something. I think that I'm just so cool. Mr. Cool. Well, Mr. Cool, you're dead. Because that's the game you choose to play to cheat. And every time you cheat, you only cheat yourself. Nobody else really cares how good or bad you are, but you do. And if you do not believe in yourself, like yourself, follow whatever promises you make, I fulfill my promises, my integrity is intact. I wasn't planning on mentioning this part here today, but I'm going to. All of you have determined to be monks here in the monastery. All of you have determined to follow the rules that were set up. And I have said to you time and again, if you don't like the rules, let's change them. If you don't like the rules, let's change it. If the rules don't suffice for our particular needs or our particular desires, change them. The rules are not good or bad. The rules are just whatever we promise to follow. 71 miles an hour could be the new speed limit, and then we could drive 71. 69 miles an hour might be the new speed limit. 55 was for a long time, and boy, did we have trouble with that. But here in the monastery, we have all sorts of lovely rules. Not terrible rules, but just rules that every one of us thought, oh, hell, that's easy. I can have no problem following that. It's no big deal to follow that. I'm fantastic. And then times change, circumstances change, emotions change, and boom, we're off. We say we don't drink alcohol on campus, and yet we bring wine with alcohol on campus. I don't care what you use the wine for. You might use it for just making your sauces or something, but it's wine with alcohol. Let's change the rule and forget that alcohol on campus. Some of you have sex. And you know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And you think you're getting away with something. You're not. Change the rule. Change the rule. It's stupid to have rules that you're not going to follow because it only makes you feel guilty and miserable. We say there's no smoking on the campus, and there isn't, basically. But Ilse had a tough, tough time for a long time with that. She'd just go beyond the gate and have a cigarette. Now that's tough. She may not have been on campus, but she was smoking. And that hurt her very much. That made her feel very insecure. She wanted to get away from here so that she wouldn't be lying to herself by following the practice she has. Can you imagine Karim coming here, Karen, and her need of smoking presently? She'd die if she couldn't have a cigarette now and then. She'd run off campus and smoke, come back. We have rules that are not reasonable, that are not just. We don't smoke on campus because it's a fire hazard. It's not that we don't smoke on campus because we don't agree in smoking. People can do as they wish. But we don't choose to have it here. We don't drink alcohol on campus because that's just a choice we made. We don't have sex on campus because that's a choice we make. Let's get rid of those choices and make some realistic choices of what we believe in. But I've told you this for years and years and years and years and years, and you've gone around feeling guilty for years and years and years and years. Don't tell me that when you use alcohol in cooking wine and you know it, that you don't feel guilty. If you don't, you should. Oh, really, you should. Because you made a promise. And that promise means I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I can use anything else. I can use nightshade. I can use poison. I can use acid. I can use anything. But I can't use alcohol. So, let's clean up our records. Let's clean up our books. Let's clean up our thinking. We don't need to go around feeling guilty. We know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But if we're going to have on our books rules that are only making people feel guilty when they fall, then that's not really beneficial. We want everyone in our world to be beautiful because they're beautiful. We want everyone to honor rules because the rules are honorable. We want everyone to live a life of harmony and peace and goodness. Now, I'm not recommending that we have the Bhagwan sex orgies on campus here. No way. I'm not recommending that we have drinking bouts here like many organizations do. Not at all. I'm only recommending that we live our life in a perfect divine way and that we always follow whatever agreement we have for ourselves. It only matters to you what this is. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My integrity is intact. And when our integrity is not intact, wowee, do we face some interesting things. Yeah. Our skin breaks out. We have physical problems. We have mental problems. We don't feel inspired. We don't feel uplifted. We don't feel that we're enjoying life. When we don't believe in ourselves, we just are useless beings. It's up to us. It's up to us to really know who we are. I believe in myself. I like me. I follow what it is I believe about myself. All the things of the physical world are just temptations that say to us, hey, I'm going to test you. Oh, the beautiful food we're preparing for tonight's wonderful party. Oh, that's going to be a tempting bit of food. And why not? We can tempt ourselves now and then. We can enjoy it now and then. But that doesn't mean we're going to have that type of meal every day. We'd all be fat as roosters. But we have good food every day. And we can have our splurge now and then. We can have our experience now and then. But it doesn't have to be our normal everyday repast. Like yourself. Believe in yourself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My promise is to live a healthy, long, beautiful life. Well, we don't live healthy, long, beautiful lives if we don't like ourselves. We may live long physical lives in some people's eyes. We may be 80, 90, 100, still alive, still cooking, still percolating. But I personally think it would be wonderful to die or leave this body when I'm 1 year old, 2 years, five, to have accomplished everything I choose to come to this dimension to accomplish in just that amount of time. You mean to say all those people who leave in stillbirth, who leave in 1, 2 years old, five and earlier, they all have accomplished everything? Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. They chose to come to this experience and do what they chose to do in the period of time they were here. Their death is not an accident. Their death is their choice. Oh, but by illness, by accident, by injury, by doctors making a mistake or something. No, no, it's all by their choice. You cannot die unless you choose, unless you have programmed yourself for that. You cannot. You program yourself to die because you think that that's the proper thing to do. Race consciousness programs us to die at certain ages, and we keep expanding those ages because it's fun. Jesus' time, they died at 30. My goodness, that was a normal thing. African tribes, the people die in 1820. And in that time, they try to get all their lifespan in. Methuselah lived hundreds of years. Other Bible characters lived hundreds of years. We think, oh, sure, that's just somebody's writing. Well, you say the Bible is the Word of God. And it is. Everybody is God. And everybody writes their own Bible. And the fellows who wrote the Bible that we read are a bunch of very creative people. They listen intuitively to that divine within. Just think for just a second. Paul, he never spoke to Jesus. He tried to kill him. Paul, he never spoke to Jesus. He hated Jesus. That was his job. Paul, he had a conversion. And Jesus said, why do you hate me? Why do you persecute me? And Paul was dumbfounded. My God, he doesn't hate me after I've done such things to him. And so then Paul goes out and teaches Jesus' teachings, and he didn't have the vaguest idea what Jesus taught. But he listened intuitively within himself. Do you think Peter was just spouting off what Jesus taught when Paul came around? No way. Or the rest of the disciples? No way. They were having trouble figuring it out themselves. But he listened intuitively within, and he became a wonderful expression of many of Jesus' teachings, which were universal. That's why he could do it so easily. Do you think Jesus sat inside of Paul's head and dictated the things to him? No way. Jesus said, I must go so the Comforter can come. And then Paul listened to the Comforter within himself. You and I, we listen to that Comforter within ourselves. We listen to the Divine within ourselves. And we follow it. Now Gertrude thinks that I'm so wonderful because I encourage her to do things. And yet, Gertrude has written all over her being what she'd like to do. And I merely encourage what I read in her being, what she'd like to do. And I say, Gertrude, go for it. And she does and is a wonderful success in everything. And I'd say a lot more, except I don't want to overload her circuits and have her blow a fuse and be unhappy. I'd rather have just smoothly go along. And the same with all of you. I smoothly talk to each one of you. None of you can ever say that I hate you or that I push you or that I'm unhappy with you or that I think that you're not going quickly enough, far enough, fast enough. None of you can ever say that. Even our dear friend here, Emmanuel Boyd, who's calling at this lovely time, even he, I love him. And it's a wonderful thing. And great things can come from the relationship of all these beautiful people in our world. And it will come from that, because we're the creator. We're the master. We are the ones who put the causes in motion. And these beautiful things come into our life and come into our experience. But I believe in myself. Gertrude believes in herself. Emmanuel believes in himself. Now, what about you? Ellen, do you believe in yourself? If you believe in yourself, then just go and do whatever you feel is right. Go and do whatever you feel is comfortable. Don't feel that you have to do somebody else's bidding. When you make up seminars, you say, hey, this is our show. We're ready. And Sylvia, when you do your work and you eat while you're sitting at your computer and then I come in and you shove the cookies in the drawer, don't do that. You're not doing anything wrong. If you're doing something wrong, you shouldn't have been doing it. But you're not doing something wrong. You're just having a cookie or whatever you're having. And don't try to hide it. Be yourself. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, Stefan. Don't look at your desk as a monument of work. Look at it as a monument of opportunities. Starting at the top, working your way right on down. Pretty soon, you're all done. It's wonderful. And don't look at your coworkers here as a bunch of people who are different from you. Every one of them is just as magnificent as you are, just as fabulous as you are, just as creative and with just as much love for themselves as you do. And the reason I mention that is that sometimes you think that you have to help them a little bit. You have to bless them with your genius or your love or whatever. Just be yourself. Always be yourself. And if yourself is everything you do, super. If anything you do is something that is not fulfilling for you or rewarding, don't do it. Same with you, Gertrude. When you're singing there at your group, enjoy it. Give your whole heart to it. Just sing out like a wild banshee and have a great time. If you make a mistake, forget it. Nobody hears it. If you do it all right, great, you hear that. And that's wonderful. But just practice, practice, practice. And your teacher says 15 minutes a day. That's because she read in your consciousness that that's about what you wanted to practice. You practice whatever you feel like practicing. If you feel it's a good day for practicing, bellow. Go 20 minutes, half hour, hour. If you feel it's not a good day for you to practice, then just lay back and do it for whatever you want and then go about your work. But don't feel guilty. You don't have to do anything at any time. You do it because you want to. You're retired now. You have no responsibility to the rest of the world. You never did, but you thought you did. Now you're just doing your own thing and having fun. Do it! I command you! Go forth and enjoy yourself and be happy. And you, Anita, a precious bombshell, you want to do everything right. You want to do everything beautiful. And you do. But just believe in yourself and do things because you want to do them. If you ever are in doubt about doing anything, don't do it. If anybody, even me, tells you to do something and you doubt it, don't do it. But if you believe it with all your heart because you believe in me and you believe in the program and so on, then do it. Follow it. But make sure that you believe it. Because if you have any doubt in your heart when you do something, then it doesn't matter if you do it or don't, because you don't believe it. This is true for all of us. We make promises to do things and we follow through with things. Be careful. Because if we feel guilt in our heart over anything, oh boy, do we have problems. Irene, you're like a flower. And you want to bloom. But sometimes you give attention to the weeds in your garden. And when you pay attention to the weeds in your garden, they grow beautifully. And the flowers are stunted. But when you pay attention to the flowers in your garden, they grow. And you don't pay any attention to the weeds and they die by atrophy, by no attention. You know what makes your heart happy. You know what makes you right. You know what your goals are. You know what your aspirations are. Believe in yourself. Make promises. Fulfill your promises. And then your integrity is intact and you feel wonderful. Don't ever do anything that you feel guilty about. If whatever you do, even having a snack in between meals or something like that, and it's not allowed, if you believe in it, that never feel guilty about it. But always remember, make sure you don't go around making promises that you don't feel that you want to follow. We'll be tempted. Hey, that's the name of this game, temptation. We'll be tempted to see if we really believe in ourselves, if we really want to follow who and what we are, and how well we handle temptation is the perfect indication of how well we know who we are. So, stand forth with confidence and belief in yourself, and you will be surprised at how wonderful it is. And Christina, soon a new world is dawning for you, and you'll make decisions as to where your values are and what's important to you. But if at all times you believe in yourself and you make promises to yourself, whatever the promises may be, and you fulfill those promises, then when your integrity is intact, you'll not feel any guilt at all. We shouldn't go through life feeling guilt, because guilt is just a matter of that we don't believe in ourselves. But believe in yourself. Stalin killed millions and millions and millions of his own people. Millions. And who knows, it might have even been billions. But he killed his own people. And he had no bad feelings about it, because he felt what he was doing was good. The mafia hitman kills people, and he has no bad feelings because he felt what he was doing is good. That's an extreme case I'm giving you, of course. But think of yourself. If you believe in yourself, you will have no feelings of guilt at any time in anything that you do. Do it with your head held high and belief in yourself. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. And my integrity is intact. And that's who you are, Christina. And Ingeborg, you are the kid of the group here. But you sometimes forget that. You sometimes forget that I'm still the boss. And that when I start talking, everything should be quiet. Not because what I have to say is wonderful or good or fantastic, but because I'm the boss. And when Stefan or Ellen talks, be quiet. That's the role that we each have to play. And we want to play our roles without raising our voice and without doing things. So listen. Learn to listen. Don't feel that what you have to say has to be said. Because if you feel what you have to say has to be said, then you don't believe in yourself. Because if we say to ourselves what has to be said, that's enough. But learn to listen. And just because you're so young, that doesn't mean you can't learn to listen. Because I believe in you. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. And my integrity is intact. Now, about each of you, I said some negative things. And each of you, I said maybe a little positive thing. Ingeborg says, well, where's my positive thing? Well, your positive thing, Ingeborg, is that I love you unconditionally, as I do with each of you. I love you unconditionally. And as I was doing my meditation this morning, and I was thinking of the needs of my blood family, I was thinking, now, if I sent them a copy of my treatment and the order in which I treat, they'd say, well, how come you put them before me? How come you put your brother before your sister, or your wife before your son, or your grandson before them all? Well, each has personal priorities in their particular lifestyle. And the ones that seem a little more intense, I put them first. It gives them a feeling of being loved a little more. And I see them whole and perfect. And they feel good about that. But that's my role, is to be unconditionally loving to all. And I am unconditionally loving to you all. I see you perfect. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My integrity is intact. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My integrity is intact. I like myself. I believe in myself. I make promises. I fulfill my promises. My integrity is intact.